If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on this Wednesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. This second hour on the eve of the 2025 NFL Draft is dedicated to those draft discussions. DRS and I will talk about what we are seeing right now, the updates in the odds, and plenty more markets available, not just for you to win some wagers as we get ready for night number one, round number one tomorrow in Green Bay, but of course, a better picture at what we are looking at in the opening round of the 2025 NFL Draft. We'll talk a little bit of NBA action as well with our guy George Bellecci of Nesson, who joins us up next. A little bit of Celtics talk as they get ready for game number two tonight inside TD Garden. But George sticks around for some Patriots talk and what Mike Vrabel and the Pats will look to do with the fourth overall pick tomorrow night. And then Joe Lisi, out of hibernation, back on the Sports Grid airwaves, will join us for the entirety of our second half hour of this second hour to give you his thoughts on the 2025 NFL Draft. DRS, a lot in store here in hour number two.
We need to stick around, too. We got to give Joe Lisi the support. I heard from the higher-ups early today what a big, you know, vision it is for Lisi at this company. If he can pull off a couple segments and be coherent and add good information, maybe he's a part of our future. So I'm rooting for him. I hope he sticks around. I like the guy a lot. But also, when we talk about the draft here, like the green room, here's what I need to see. Like, Travis Hunter is going. Is the girlfriend going to be there? And how furious will she be? It's like, Travis, Cleveland, no. We're not going to Cleveland. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to get that type of live feedback that we absolutely need at this point. You have to force your way to Cleveland or give me that phone or, my goodness, did you go on stage? There were three girls in the first row looking at you. Now you can't play football anymore. We need that drama in the green room here, Ben. That's what we need.
Some of your impersonations, my friend, you do a really good job. I almost wonder if your career of sports broadcasting should be taken to the stage with how you can nail some of those impersonations. Either way, DRS, I guess we'll find out tomorrow what exactly Travis Hunter has in store in the green room. He shouldn't have to wait around very long to hear his name called. We have the betting markets available for the overall pick odds from 1 through 10. Here's how the draft is shaping up according to the odds makers. Cam Ward remains a minus 20,000 favorite to go first overall. Travis Hunter now minus 1,200 to be that second overall pick. Abdul Carter minus 650 to go third. Will Campbell minus 420 to go fourth. Here is the biggest change that we have seen officially in draft week. Through most of this cycle, the Michigan interior D lineman, Mason Graham, was the odds-on favorite, minus 165 on Monday, to be that fifth overall selection. That's where the Jaguars are drafting right now. But Donnie, a big change in the thought on what Jacksonville is going to do, maybe targeting the offensive side of the football in the Heisman runner-up in Ashton Jeanty. Plus 120 is the number you see there. That's slightly outdated, not because of bad work for the guys behind the scenes, but just how quickly the draft odds update. That's a minus money price as of this moment on FanDuel. Minus 125 for Jeanty to be the fifth overall pick.
Yeah, and again, also understand this, as Ben pointed out multiple times, even throughout this draft process, doesn't mean he has to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because right. that also could mean the Jaguars are saying, we really like this guy, which they could be doing that to say, oh, no, we're the Bears. We sit at 10. I'm hearing that Jacksonville really likes that guy. We better trade up with Jacksonville, make a deal so we can take him at number five. That's why you're seeing some of that smoke and mirrors where you might have a team that likes him at five, but other teams that like him knowing they got to get to five in order to take this guy. That's interesting to watch you play out. But as we broke it down yesterday, where he should go and not go, like if you have like the cherry on top of the sundae, that's Ashton Jeanty. We have everything in place. We're ready to win right now. That's a guy that you would love to have, but not a lot of teams in the top 10 are ready to win right now, which we thought about how the Chicago Bears could be intriguing, but probably won't last till 10 to get Ashton Jeanty. But also, like, you spent high in the past couple of years with draft picks in the first round to get ETN, and you have, you know, the tank in the backfield. You really need another running back, or you couldn't use another weapon somewhere else or somebody to solidify that defense for Jacksonville. But sometimes you can't just fall. Look, I'm sticking to my draft board. I'm taking the single best football player on the board, regardless of position, because obviously you're not going to draft quarterback if you're the Jaguars. And if it is Jeanty, it's still hard to argue with at that point, even though I don't think he should be going to Jacksonville 5.
Yeah, DRS, it's really interesting, right? Travis Etienne, who was drafted by the Jags back in 2021, 25th overall. I don't know if he has signed a contract extension for that second deal after his rookie deal. The reason I bring that up, I do know that his fifth-year team option was picked up by Jacksonville last offseason, so he still has one more year in Duval County. We'll check in there to see if his contract has been extended. If not, that would make some more sense for Ashton Jeanty. For most of this draft process, the team that was favored, even in minus money, to be the team to select Ashton Jeanty was the Las Vegas Raiders. No longer the case. So because of Jacksonville's changing course, it also means, Donnie, that 6 and 7 look the exact same. Armon Membu, the offensive tackle out of Missouri, the favorite to go 6th, the favorite to go 7th. Drafting 6, the Las Vegas Raiders. Twice. Drafting number 7 would be the New York Jets. Membu, when the market opened up on Monday afternoon, DRS, for overall pick odds 6 through 10, was the favorite to go 7th overall to the New York Jets. It would seem to make some sense. You just signed Justin Fields. You have a new regime. You want to bolster that offensive line at all costs. That would make a ton of sense, but if Ashton Jeanty is not available at 6th overall for Las Vegas, there is now a thought Membu goes exactly there.
Yes, and you're right about it. Like, these are good football players, and you're strongest on the defensive line and offensive line. That's where you build out at this point. But you also saw getting to the 10th pick there, which I love, Tyler Warren. And let's understand this. If Warren, let's just say, goes there and the Bears stay at 10 and pick him, I absolutely love that move. They already have a capable tight end, but now you take that double tight end set to the next level for your young quarterback. What would you rather have, like, if you're the Bears front office or fans, trade up from 10 to 5 to go get the running back, but give up a 1 for next year, or stay put and take a maybe generational tight end, or at least a Pro Bowl caliber tight end at 10, just to weaponize that offense even more? I'd rather stay at 10 and get the tight end than trade up, get a running back who, again, could be special. Yeah. But then next year, I don't have a first-round pick because I had to give it up going from 10 to 5.
Yeah, I'm not so sure we would see a trade into the top 5 for a running back, even a historic college football running back in Ashton Jeanty. If Jeanty does go 5th overall, it would be the first time since Saquon Barkley in 2018 we have seen a running back drafted in the top 5. By my accounting and quick research on the fly right there, Travis Etienne has not signed a contract extension after his rookie deal, would become a free agent this following offseason for Jackson. A couple of Georgia edge rushers, Jalen Walker, Mikel Williams, the favorites to go 8th and 9th overall. Jalen Walker at 8th overall, that would be the Carolina Panthers. 9th overall, and here's where it gets interesting, that's the Saints, who no longer seem to be in the running, DRS, to use a top 10 pick on a quarterback. You see Tyler Warren there at plus 380. So what does that mean for Shedeur Sanders? The team most likely to draft Shedeur at a plus 190 price, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Donnie, Shedeur Sanders' draft position prop opened up overnight at 21.5. What's the pick the Pittsburgh Steelers have? 21. it seems as though the Sanders slide is here. We'll get your thoughts on that just a little bit later on with Joe Lisi. We got to welcome on our guy, George Bellecci, up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There is so much to talk about right now in Beantown. The Red Sox, a victory yesterday at home, finding their footing in the American League East. The Celtics, the reigning NBA champs, have a game two inside TD Garden tonight. And tomorrow, the New England Patriots will be on the clock drafting fourth overall to welcome in the Mike Vrabel era. We have so much to discuss then with one of our favorites from Nesson. George Bellecci joins us here on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Georgie, we appreciate the time. As always, we start with the C's. We get to the Pats. Thank you for joining us here on this Wednesday.
My guys, miss you guys. So happy to be back on. We got so much going on. You guys were talking about Armand Membu. I can't wait to get into the offensive tackle talk for the Pats. But of course, we got to start with game two in Boston against the Magic.
We certainly do, George. And of course, the big news entering game number two, the shifting in the odds because of the injury report. Jason Tatum officially listed as doubtful for game number two, injuring his wrist in the opening game of the set against Orlando. How does that change things for the Celtics if Tatum does not play tonight entering game two against the Magic?
You're losing out on the initiator on your offense, your best scorer, one of your best defenders. You could say the best defender, but Jrue Holiday exists. And the guy that does everything on both ends of the floor. And yes, his shot hasn't been there, but Jason Tatum is the best player on the Celtics, bar none, and no one's close to him. He's a top five player in this league, how he's been playing this season. He should have been top three in the MVP voting for what he did with this team and everything that demands on him. So that's a lot. And the bone bruise, like when he went down and it was day to day, scale of 1 to 10, you know, I was sitting at a 2 for concern. But when it became a bone bruise, that's a 6.5, 7, because that's going to be tough to ball handle. It's going to affect his shooting, which has been on the downside as is. Now, I'm not worried about this Magic team, but I went from being a confident sweep to it's still confident in 5, but the game 2 adjustment will be tough. The Magic can defend just like the Celtics, but they can't score. And I'm not too worried about it from that end. But Jason Tatum does a lot. Maybe we see Kristaps Porzingis go better than 1-for-8 from the field, but also sag off of Wendell Carter instead of defending him from the perimeter, be more of a rim protector. And maybe that could change some things. But the Celtics have the depth. They still have Jaylen Brown, who's looking springy since getting the shots in his knee. So I'm not too worried when it comes to game two against the Magic. At worst, this series, I think, gets closed out in 5 instead of 4.
And that's what I think as well, George. But let me ask you this question, too, because Al Horford had some interesting comments saying, like, look, we're not happy with the chippiness that Orlando is playing with, which you're going to get a team that's not as talented. How do you get the Celtics off their game? Well, you don't run them out of the gym. You can't do that. You get extra physical. Is there a worry maybe the NBA is going to take a look at game number two and referee it a little bit closer, saying, look, the Celtics are the better team here. We're not going to let the Magic get away with some of this rough stuff that they may have gotten away with in game number one. And also, as you pointed out, hurting Jason Tatum. What does Orlando do in game number two? The same physicality? Or can we counter that with the Celtics and put that at bay?
They have to be the physical team. I mean, that's how they came out in the first half. It's how they had that punch right before the end of the first half as well. They have to be physical. They're the younger team. They have to be more energetic, and they just have to steal a game at TD Garden if they want any hope of winning the series. Paolo Banchero, He's fantastic. They miss Jalen Suggs a lot. Franz Wagner was his, himself because of what Jrue Holiday did against him. But this Celtics team just comes at you in waves. It's, yeah, maybe they officiated tighter. Maybe it affects the Magic. I would say play more between the lines in a way, but they're still going to have to run through their face every opportunity they have. It's the only way they can match up with them. Defensively, they don't have the shooting. They just simply do not have the shooting. And it's a law of averages with the Celtics. They didn't put up that many threes by their standard in game one. I wouldn't be surprised if they get back to that 45 to 52 three attempts in game two, and the Magic simply cannot keep up at that clip.
In game number one, Paolo Banchero, 36 points. Franz Wagner, not necessarily efficient, but 23. No other player for Orlando scored more than seven. It's one of the reasons the Magic only scored 86. It's also one of the reasons Boston won the opening game of this set by 17. But we did see a line move, George, after the news around Jason Tatum. 13-point spread, the initial line for game number two inside TD Garden tonight. Now just a 10.5-point number. As you expressed, though, the Celtics should comfortably cruise to an opening round playoff series win against the Magic. But that was not the expectation for the reigning NBA champs all year. As we look at their outlook, George, Boston entered this season as a very short favorite to win the NBA championship. They enter the playoffs not as the favorites to win the NBA title, trailing the Oklahoma City Thunder by just about 20 cents, but still a minus money odds on favorite at minus 145 to win the Eastern Conference crown. You have been following this Boston team all year long. What has the mentality been for the reigning NBA champs to hang banner number 19 at the end of this season?
It's just been repeat. It's all we can do. They know they're the best team in the league. They're still underrated because they are very much aware of all the attention SGA is getting in MVP voting, all the attention the Lakers are getting since they acquired Luka Doncic, all this and then more. And they're aware that the only way they lose this title is if they beat themselves. Injuries, like we saw, get close with KP last year, this time with Jason Tatum. The mentality is the same. Repeat. And within that building, the urgency is there too because we know that second apron's coming. We know there's going to be taxes, ramifications for this Celtics team with new ownership. Jrue Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, I think this is it for this building of the Celtics team. So it's still the same thing, championship or bust. And as for game two, quick bet to give out, Derek White, six-plus assists. Maybe you catch him at 5.5. He's been averaging 7 assists a game literally the last month of the regular season. With Jason Tatum banked up, ball handling could be affected. Derek White is the point guard, is the initiator. He dropped 30, but I like that assist number. It's not that high for Derek White standards with Jason Tatum banged up.
And he did have 7 made triples in game number one. 5.5 the number right now, Georgie, on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And some juice on the under. So a good number for Derek White filling that void of Tatum. Quickly here, George, before we turn our attention to the Patriots in the NFL draft in our next segment. You see the odds for the Eastern Conference Championship. And as Donnie and I have laid out all year, it's really been a tier of two. The Celtics as the 2 seed and the top seed in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you think the Cavs can actually test Boston in a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup?
Yeah, I think they can. They have the coaching. They have the big wings. They have the perimeter guys. They have the scoring. Like, that's what the thing is. You can have the size. You go out and get DeAndre Hunter. They have the bigs. They can protect the paint. Can you score? Can you shoot? The Cavaliers can do that. Celtics in 6 if they meet the Cavs.
Already the predictions. This guy's so good. Draft talk for the Patriots up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We welcome you back to this Wednesday morning live right here on the Early Line. George Bellecci joins us for a second consecutive segment. It is NFL Draft Eve, and as George works for Nesson, and it is in the greater Boston area. Of course, a focus on the team that plays up in Foxborough, the New England Patriots. The start of a new era under a familiar name and face. Mike Vrabel, drafting fourth overall. That's where the Pats will be more than likely come tomorrow night. So, George, we look at the odds for the fourth overall pick live right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The offensive tackle out of LSU. Will Campbell is the hefty favorite at a minus 420 price to be that fourth overall selection. George, you tell us. You cover the Patriots. You have been a part of this draft cycle for New England. Are the odds makers correct? Is Will Campbell going fourth overall to the Pats tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think they are. And you see that minus 420, and it's because every box that Will Campbell checks, the Patriots are in dire need of culture. Like, it is rock bottom. And you never thought you'd say that about the New England Patriots, but that's the status it was in, and that's what Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, drove it into the ground even more with Gerard Mayo last season. What does Will Campbell do? He's a wore the number seven at LSU, first lineman, defensive or offensive, to ever do that. Very athletic, high IQ, multi-year starter in LSU, team captain, and again, I keep bringing up the culture thing, but that's what matters to Mike Vrabel. He checks all the boxes as a Mike Vrabel guy. My concern, he's going to be a really, really, really good guard at the NFL level. They need a tackle. So I see the number of Armand Membu, 15-1. I would sprinkle it. That's a long shot, but at worst, Armand Membu is an offensive tackle. At best, he's a really good left tackle. At worst, Will Campbell is an all-pro guard. At best, he's an okay left tackle. The quarterback's right-handed. Yes, he's very athletic, but he's their franchise guy. I would go Armand Membu. I think he has the athleticism. He just turned 21. He's such a smooth mover. When I watch him moving laterally, it's so effortless for him. I think he can move to the left side. But I think the Patriots, again, needing culture. They need a leader in that room. And Mike Vrabel mentioned this lead up to the draft. Whoever they take in the first round, the pressure will be this guy has to work out. And he said, whoever we take has to handle that. Will Campbell, a little more mature. You hear about him. He says all the right things. I think they go Will Campbell. I am very skeptic of him as an offensive tackle. He has less than 78-inch long wingspan. He would be such an outlier if he works out at the tackle spot. And if he gets beat outside, he starts to cheat, guys cross his face, beat him on the inside, he's going to end up being a guard. But for the Patriots, it's long-term play, rebuild this offensive line. He could be a left tackle for a season, and I think it's a long-term rebuild. So Will Campbell, minus 420, I would not bet it. That's an awful number to bet. Do not bet that. But sprinkle Armand Membu 15-1 because he's an offensive tackle.
Yeah, the rebuilding the offensive line certainly key, specifically when you believe you have your young franchise quarterback. Give him room to breathe in the pocket. George, I like what the Patriots did, spending some money and acquiring some talent on the defensive side of the football. But in that first round, give me a surprise. Are there any surprises that you think would happen here, whether it's a trade up for the Patriots, a trade down for the Patriots, or maybe a player that, you know what, not a lot of people are talking about, but I might be getting a feeling they might be acquiring this certain player?
I think it's a great question. The surprise would be Jalen Walker, the edge or off-ball linebacker, depending how you look at him out of Georgia. He's caught steam. Apparently, he has fans inside the building. But I think that's more of the Patriots getting into the lying season, saying, hey, we'll take him at four because here's where I'll go with you. I think the trade back makes sense to swap with the Carolina Panthers at eight. I just put out my seven-round mock draft on my Instagram. It's up on X as well. But if you see there, it makes sense for them to swap with the Panthers. Panthers go up. Awful defensive line. They have their pickings of Mason Graham or Jalen Walker, who the Jaguars would take as well. If Patriots slide back, they could go Tet McMillan top 10. They get another second round pick. They have two thirds. Use those, move back into the first. You following me here, Donnie? And you know what? Yeah. You could get a left tackle. Josh Simmons, Josh Connerly, Ante Ursary, all Big Ten guys. So I know Ben absolutely loves that. That is what would make sense, right, Donnie? It's what would make sense. I'm screaming it to the skies. Patriots, most likely, though, they stick and pick Will Campbell at four.
I think if there is some movement, Georgie, in the top five, it's New England moving out. Could Jacksonville move out? We shall see. Quickly here before you go. Win total is 7.5 for a Patriots team that has had back-to-back seasons of four wins. How optimistic are you on New England in 2025?
As someone that was screaming to the sky, take the under at 4.5 last season, I do like this over at 7.5. I think it's going to be close, but you bring in a Mike Vrabel. They got better in every facet. Run defense stunk. They signed the right defensive lineman and linebackers. Passing defense stunk. They got the right safety. They have an actual free safety in Marcus Epps, Carlton Davis. They got better in the red zone. I think they go over 7.5, and it's the Mike Vrabel bump. That's why.
George Bilecki, the best to do it. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Draft Day Eve live on this Wednesday on the early line on Sports Grid. For the remainder of this second hour, the mastermind of the pigskin gets you set for the 2025 NFL Draft. The man in the middle, Joe Lisi, joins us live right here on the early line on this Wednesday morning. Lisi guy, we appreciate the time and thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. What did I do to deserve this, though, huh? I mean, trouble here. Haven't seen the guy on my right for weeks now. Must be that pro baseball Today show keeping him up.
Now, is that Ben? I mean, come on.
That's
dude, right,
me, though,
left.
Joe.
Why is your head so big in this frame, too, as well? I mean, we got to get this situated out
my
here. Why
right,
are you so much bigger than us?
This
in there?
Right.
Look at that.
Lisi, your right now on screen would be me.
I like it. Yep.
Well, I'm looking at it this
stage
way.
Left,
so I'm a little
will.
Backwards. There you go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm twisted. Oh, man.
We're ready.
You said, what did you deserve to do this? I think it's the question you'll be asking at the end of these 30 minutes as well. Ooh. As we look at the 2025 NFL draft, Lisi guy, and taking a look at the top 10, here is the order right now. And, Joe, as we have laid out on Football Full Circle for the entirety of this draft process, as we have laid out numerous times here on TEL, there has been no movement. All 32 NFL franchises still maintain their original first-round pick. Let's start with that very idea, Joe. In the next 36 hours, by the time we get to the start of the 2025 NFL draft tomorrow night, are we going to see a trade or some sort of shifting in that draft order?
I think we will, and I don't know if it's in number 2 or number 3, but I think in number 4 and number 5, you know, the 4 with the New England Patriots and Jacksonville Jaguars, both of those teams I think aren't one player away, and I think they could trade out maybe with a team like New Orleans or even Las Vegas to potentially stockpile some picks, and it wouldn't hurt their type of situation. So I think we have to look at 4 and number 5. I think Cleveland and New York are right in terms of fielding calls right now, but I don't know if the Giants move out. You know, the Giants have really set themselves what they got with the quarterback position and Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. I don't know if really taking anybody else or moving out helps them, but I think Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter would be a great fit for the New York Giants at number 3.
You know, we see the top 10 of the draft right here, and I always like to have fun with this show. So I'm going to ask you this question, like, who makes the mistake in the top 10? Because usually there's a team like, oh, that's a good move, good trade up. They got their guy. Somebody always makes that mistake. Like, what are they doing? So, Joe, give me a team in the top 10 where you're going to say, after night number 1 on Thursday night, what were they doing here in the top 10?
I would say it's the Jets at 7, and it's just because the New York Jets, right? I believe Aaron Glenn's, you know, an added addition and Justin Fields, but at number 7 overall, I think if they take Tyler Warren or take a tight end in terms of the number 7 overall pick, I think that would be a big mistake. I think they need offensive line help. I think defensive line help could benefit them, but if they take Ty Warren at number 7 overall, that would be a huge mistake, in my opinion, for the Jets moving forward.
Yeah, 7th overall right now. The favorite is Armand Membu, the offensive tackle out of Missouri, to go there. The Jets bolstering that O-line is certainly a natural thought. But, Lisi, I want to start with the top 5. As you and I have seen, it's pretty solidified 1 through 4. Minus 20,000 for Cam Ward to be that first overall pick. Now minus 1,200 for Travis Hunter at 2. Minus 650 for Abdul Carter. Greater than a $4 minus money price for Will Campbell at 4th overall. The big change, though, Joe, in the last 24 hours, the favorite, now in an odds-on category to go 5th, to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is the Heisman runner-up out of Boise State, Ashton Jeanty. Lisi, what's your reaction to that change? Is Ashton Jeanty about to be a top five pick tomorrow evening?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, Ben. And again, you know, running backs with Saquon having the year that he had and leading Philadelphia to a Super Bowl championship, and we've seen the emergence of Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson just a couple of seasons ago in terms of the top 15. It wouldn't shock me if a team reaches up and grabs Ashton Jeanty at number five. I think what would surprise me is if it is Jacksonville in that selection. I just think Jacksonville solidified with Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne. I don't think Ashton Jeanty puts them over the top. I think they could trade out. And let's say they move to number nine or number 10 or in that area, they could still get a big play wide receiver from McMillan that I think would benefit them more than Ashton Jeanty in terms of the offense with Liam Cohen. So that's the way I would look at it. Have no problem with Jeanty going five overall. I just don't believe it's going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, guys.
Yeah, running back is a luxury that high in the draft. And I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars can afford that luxury. A couple other plugs, holes that you need to plug. And I agree with you. Wide receiver position for your young stud quarterback, those are usually the ways that I would look. But if we do take a look at top three, we probably know who's going number one here at a minus 20,000 price point in Cam Ward. But Joe, in your eyes, do you believe Travis Hunter should be going number two overall above Abdul Carter?
I do. And it's the athleticism, Donnie, and his ability to take away at least a third of the football field as a lockdown corner. But it's the upside of wide receiver as well. We've seen Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, look at Neighbors and last year with Brian Thomas, how they came on and just leading their teams in terms of receptions. Travis Hunter could be that type of polarizing player that I think you have a dual threat, whether he plays, you know, 20 plays on the defensive side of the ball. I think he'll play a majority on the offense. And at the end of the day, I think you have a dynamic playmaker that, you know, can be an all-pro for years to come. You know, Abdul Carter's a legitimate edge rusher. He's dominant. He's great in run support. But that's not what Cleveland needs right now. They need a game changer on the offensive side of the ball. And I think they have that with Travis Hunter.
By all indications, Joe, it's what GM Andrew Berry in Cleveland thinks of Travis Hunter more offensively as a standout wide receiver than even the elite lockdown corner we saw during his days at Colorado. Let's go 6 through 10 by the odds. Because of the change on Ashton Jeanty, who is the minus money favorite now to go 5th overall, Armon Membu is the favorite to go 6th overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. Earlier in the draft cycle, it was the Raiders, the most likely team to select Jeanty. A little bit of a change there at 7, still an offensive line, but the updated odds now have the offensive tackle out of Texas, Kelvin Banks Jr., as the favorite to go 7th. Jalen Walker, Mykel Williams, the teammates from Georgia, the favorites to go 8 and 9 respectively. And the Mackey Award winner for the best tight end at the FBS level last year, Joe, from Penn State, Tyler Warren, is the slight favorite to go 10th overall. Of the prospects listed, 6 through 10, which is your favorite, and what do you think would be the best selection come tomorrow night?
Mykel Williams at number 9, plus 440. Ben, if we were doing this draft a year ago, he'd be the number one selection with Pierce, potentially, in terms of a top five talent. He did battle some injury concerns, but we're talking about a game changer, edge rusher, big body, great technique, and a dominant motor. That's what you want to see in terms of the next level, whether he goes to Carolina or another team. I think he's going to be a dominant all-pro and a legitimate playmaker. We saw Georgia players transform the Philadelphia Eagles. Williams could be that game changer for another team in the top 10. So plus 440 for me, I like the odds.
You know what's really interesting as well? Mason Graham, earlier this week, a minus 165 favorite to be that 5th overall pick, is no longer the favorite at any of those other spots, 6 through 10. Is Mason Graham on a small slide for the D tackle from Michigan? We'll discuss a little bit later on, but with so many draft markets opening up, Lisi Guy, we get into the quarterback conversation. A report on Shador Sanders early this morning from NFL Network and Tom Pelissero. We'll discuss what does it mean for Sanders' draft stock? Where exactly does he fall? fall tomorrow night in Green Bay. And how about the other quarterbacks? Will we see only two, maybe three? Could we see four signal callers go in the opening round? That's why the Mastermind of the Pigskin is here, not for one, not even for two, but three segments on this draft eve on the Early Line. More to come next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live right here on this NFL Draft Eve Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. The Mastermind is still here for a second consecutive segment. That is Joe Lisi. Now time to have the conversation that, of course, will dictate a lot of how the NFL Draft plays out. The quarterback questions. Lisi guy, let's start with Shador Sanders. There was some reports this morning from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero and some anonymous accounts of an assistant NFL coach saying that Shador Sanders was the worst interview he has ever seen during his time in the NFL. Not exactly the kindest thing to hear about Shador Sanders a day out from the 2025 NFL draft. But him as a prospect individually, Joe, has been one of the main storylines entering the 2025 NFL draft. Where we stand on this Wednesday morning, just over 24 hours away from the beginning of the 2025 NFL draft, the team now most likely to select Shador Sanders is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You will see the price up there in just a matter of moments. It's plus 175 for Shador to make his way to the Steel City. Lisi, we were live on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio when that market opened up about 3 weeks ago. The Steelers were 17-1. Now they're the most likely team to draft Shador Sanders. Where do you think Sanders goes tomorrow night in the opening round?
Yeah, you have CLV. I just looked before we got on air on FanDuel. His number's 21.5, which is shocking to me, and that would be right where Pittsburgh, you know, picks. I just don't believe they could afford to just sit back and wait for Shador Sanders to potentially slip to number 21 overall, knowing that the Saints have to pick and maybe some other teams in the top 15 that potentially could pull the trigger on a quarterback. So I just don't know if he falls to number 21 overall. I think if Pittsburgh wants Shador Sanders, they're going to have to reach up and grab him. I still believe Shador Sanders is a top five, top 10 pick in terms of this draft. He did it with one of the worst offensive lines in college football. For not one but 2 years, he elevated that program that had one win just a couple of seasons ago with Carl Durrell. He took over that program and led them to a bowl appearance against BYU. 4 wins in year one, 9+ wins in the Big 12. I just think Shador Sanders is a winner. He'll elevate a team. And the fact that he can play with a bad offensive line and elevate and make his teammates better, that's what you want to see on the next level, guys.
Like, I love the conspiracies around Shador Sanders, which probably doesn't work in Pittsburgh. It's like, well, if a GM and a coach picks Shador Sanders in year number one, it doesn't work. You know, in year number two, Deion's going to take that job in the NFL at their position, or should I say at their coach, fire the general manager, and move in. I love those conspiracy theories. But having said that, if we do look at Shador Sanders, is there a chance, Joe, in your mind, that he's not actually the second overall quarterback taken in this draft behind Cam Ward? Is there a chance that he falls down? Or in your mind, he definitely is going to be the number two quarterback taken in this draft?
Donnie, I think it's all window dressing. I think it's what happened to C.J. Stroud just a couple of years ago where they were trying to bash C.J. Stroud and put him outside the top 10. And sure enough, Houston took him at number two overall right behind Bryce Young. I think it's the same type of situation. I would be absolutely shocked if they select Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck over Shedeur Sanders. I really would be shocked if that happened because I think there's a huge separation between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward and everybody else. I still think Shedeur has plus money in terms of a top five selection. I think he could still sneak in there. I think a team will reach up and grab him, and the Giants or some of these other teams, like I mentioned, New England or Jacksonville, trade out. But I do feel Shedeur has a very good shot to get inside the top five, guys.
This time last week, Shedeur Sanders was a minus money favorite, greater than a $2 favorite to go in the top 10. It's now plus 200. There wasn't even a price on him to be a first round pick because we thought he was going to go that early. It's now minus 700. The narrative around Sanders starting to change this close to the NFL draft. Minus 350 for Jackson Dart to be a first-round pick, Joe. But that number earlier this week, minus 750. The odds are finally out on FanDuel. The over-under for the number of quarterbacks taken in round number one tomorrow, it's 2.5. The over has the juice at minus 136, but not the substantial juice we expected just a few days ago. So, Joe Lisi, peer into your crystal ball and tell us, how many quarterbacks going round one tomorrow night?
I think it's two. I think Jackson Dart is the Will Levis of this draft class. I really do. Not to knock Jackson Dart, but again, I believe he's a compiler. I believe in big games against elite defenses like Alabama and some of the others. He failed to step up. I think it's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I think if Jackson Dart goes, it's potentially to Cleveland, maybe in terms of the first pick of the second round. But I think he falls outside the top 32, guys. I think Shedeur Sanders is a legitimate first-round selection. Tyler Shuck, the news surrounding him, people didn't watch his career moving from Oregon to Texas Tech to Louisville. The kid's a good quarterback. He's not elite and certainly not worthy of a first-round selection, in my opinion.
Why are we taking a look, though, in this draft? Because Jackson Dart seems to be that high riser. All the behind the scenes, the agents and or GMs talking or scouts saying, ooh, watch out, Brian Daboll loves him more than Shedeur Sanders. Why the love for Jackson Dart, as he seems to be the guy that's ascending up the board right now?
Because I think if you watch him on tape, Donnie, he throws like a beautiful pass. He's got the, you know, the pinpoint spiral, the touch. He's athletic, the RPO game, and that's what matters and what factors in. And the fact that he played with Lane Kiffin. Outside of that, in big matchups, he was rattled, especially down the stretch to lead his team to a potential college football playoff appearance.
The draft position prop on Jackson Dart, 25.5. The over now has the juice. The team most likely to select Jackson Dart at this moment, as I track it down, is the New York Giants at plus 195. But of course, that's not going to be third overall. It could be early in the second round. We'll talk about the guy expected to go first overall with the mastermind of the pigskin, Joe Lisi, on the other side of the break. That being Cam Ward, Joe, because we all think he's going to go one of one, but there hasn't been a ton of conversation, and he was not this generational touted quarterback like we have seen a few times in the last few years. What is the instant impact that Cam Ward can make in the NFL? That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Wednesday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Our draft discussions continue with the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. As we know, Joe, it's only a matter of time, at least according to the odds makers, that Cam Ward goes first overall to the Tennessee Titans. Now a minus 20,000 price for that to be the case. Oftentimes, Joe, in the last few drafts around the NFL or heck, even in other sports, Victor Wembanyama in the NBA, Connor Bedard in the NHL, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers in the WNBA, we have seen drastically strong favorites to be that first overall selection. But those were kind of generationally touted prospects that we knew were going to be the first pick years in advance. That was not the case for Cam Ward. As we got ready for the NFL Combine in late February, just about 2 months ago in Indianapolis, Cam Ward was a minus 120, minus 135 favorite. He is now minus 20,000. He is going to go first to the Tennessee Titans. What impact is he going to make right away, Joe, in Tennessee in his NFL career?
Well, I think he's a plug-and-play type of player, and his ability to extend the pocket, keep his eyes down the football field, I think Cam Ward does it as good as anybody. I think he still, at times, struggles throwing the football across his body, especially into coverage. But you look at his body of work, Ben, he elevated Miami to a level where they challenge potentially for an ACC championship. They were in the college football playoff mix, and that was all due to Cam Ward. There wasn't really one game when you look at his resume this year where you say he really played all that bad. Even though Miami lost a couple of games in terms of the regular season, Cam Ward still performed. And that's what I think he'll do in terms of the NFL level. Will he be like a Jaden Daniels type of first-year talent? I'm not so sure because I don't believe Tennessee has that type of playmakers around them just yet. But I think Cam Ward can win some games, maybe 3, 4, 5, in terms of his first year and be set up for success in terms of year number two. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I just don't put him at the same level of where we saw last year, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams coming out number one and number two, respectively.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there with Cam Ward, but certainly high expectations. I only need to see like 5 plays out of the kid at Miami opening the season at Florida, see how cool, calm, and collected he was in the pocket, and he delivered all season long for Miami. Just a shame that Miami had a bottom 500 defense that couldn't make any stops. Otherwise, Miami would have actually been playing in the college football playoff. Then you would have something to measure on, like, hey, how does he stand up in really big, high-pressure situations? By the way, Travis Hunter, minus 1,200 to be number 2 overall, Joe. The debate always is out there. Better on offense, better on defense. I make you Kevin Stefanski. How do we use Travis Hunter in Cleveland if he's drafted there?
Every down in terms of the offensive side of the ball and on the defensive side of the ball, critical, you know, third down situations, I'd roll him out in terms of a nickel corner. That's the way I would play it for Travis Hunter. You need to have him on the football field on the offensive side. In terms of every play, him with Jerry Jeudy and Kenny Pickett now at the quarterback position, I think they have the ability to put up numbers. You know, Cleveland for years struggled in terms of the wideout situation. They had Jerry Jeudy last year. You couple him with Travis Hunter, I think they have a dynamic 1-2 combo, guys.
Four teams right now on FanDuel have a win total for this next NFL season at 5.5. The worst is the Giants, who have the most juice on the under. The Browns, second worst, with a lot of juice on the under as well. I still think Travis Hunter is elite defensively and very, very good offensively, but the Browns, by all indications, are going to make him a wide receiver. Ashton Jeanty, Joe, as we see it now, minus 145 to be a top 5 pick. The Heisman runner up behind Travis Hunter. Jacksonville now the most likely team to take him at the 5th overall pick. He would be the first running back since Saquon Barkley in 2018 to go in the top 5. Joe, can he have a historic rookie season as we saw him have a historic 2024 college football campaign?
He can, but again, I told you this on air in the radio. I don't think he's Saquon Barkley, so we'll see how it plays out. He's a very good running back, yards after contact. Can definitely be a 1,000-yard rusher. If you're asking me for the bet, I wouldn't take a shot on top 5. I like the under and over 6.5. I like it under the 6.5 because the Raiders are picking number 6 overall. They could always pull the trigger if he doesn't go in the top 5, guys.
Think that is a very good look, Leesy guy. Donnie, any parting words to your best friend?
Yeah, good to see you back on the network. I really wish you well. I'm going to put in a good word with the higher-ups. So you know what? Joe should be brought back next year for football season. I think he's a pretty good guy.
I appreciate that, Donnie.
I'm always in your corner. I'm on everybody's corner. I know.
Only one of us three has ever gone to a personal dinner with the execs. I'll let the imagination roam. Hour number 3 up next.